change to be one of those today.
Aren't we all?
Well, first of all, where were you born?
I was born in Red Line, Pennsylvania. And let me continue from there. And when I was 2 years old, the family moved to Delta, Pennsylvania. And that's where I grew up, in Delta. Went to school there and graduated from Delta High School, and which has since been consolidated into, I guess it's Kennerdale. Kennerdale is it's consolidation now, but at that time, it was the high school and the grade schools and everything were all together.
Mm.
So when I graduated from there,
mm-hmm.
I went to Temple in Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
and graduated as a secretary, you know, secretary of course.
Mm-hmm.
Worked in Philadelphia for just a short time, but then it was so difficult. Now, if I get too lengthy, what do you think?
No.
It was so difficult to get from here to Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. You had to go down to the Susquehanna River, get on a ferry, go across, get on the train on the other side, and go down to Perryville, get on another train to go to Philadelphia. That's how long it took.
Mm.
And of course, their cars were not, you know, abundant like they are today, and the roads weren't like they are today either.
Mm-hmm.
So after a short time in Philadelphia, as I graduated, I was able to get a job in Baltimore and doing the same kind of work. So I moved down to Baltimore because then it was much easier to get back and forth to Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
We not only had the Maryland Pennsylvania Railroad that ran from their home,
mm-hmm.
or at that time cars were getting a little more plentiful,
mm-hmm.
and we usually had transportation back and forth, particularly with boyfriends,
mm-hmm.
who lived in Harper County.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, of course, it was much more of a farming. It wasn't industrialized. I mean, Harper County wasn't just like a lot of farmers around that really, they had sort of made it.
Mm-hmm.
And my friends, of course, were in this section, and a number of us worked in Baltimore. And went back and forth on the Maryland, Pennsylvania, when we didn't have a ride, and had a lot of fun on the train. And I said, Judge Day was one of them. Ex-Judge Day was one of them in that age group, you know. We had a lot of fun going up and down on that crazy train. And, let's see. After, from here to Baltimore was an hour and a half or 2 hours in a car. Now we're 1 hour and we're downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that made a difference. So then in 1923, I married the Harford County boy that I had been going with prior to going away from home.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Gerald. His father had a farm, which had also gone to his grandfather. We were the third generation that took over the farm. The father and mother retired and moved, really, to this house that I'm living in now, at the retirement home.
Hmm.
And then we continued. We had a dairy farm. I was a town girl who knew nothing about farming whatever, but we made out okay. And I very much like the country, much, much better than being a citizen. I'm a country girl.
Mm.
So we farmed that place, which is on Heath Road, down 136 and 38, for 35 years.
Mm.
And my husband, in the meantime, had developed arthritis. And it had what we considered then a very fine opportunity to sell a farm, which now in this day and age would be very small potatoes, in other words, compared to its best. So we had a very good opportunity to sell it. So we sold it many times. And we moved up into this house. In the meantime, the parents, his parents had died, and the house was empty. We thought we could buy the house. We bought the house and could fix it up. And we were going to build out in the country because we weren't used to being surrounded, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't get any better.
Mm-hmm.
So we never did build. We just fixed this up and we died 11 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Of a heart attack, that was funny because it had nothing to do with the arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been here ever since. In the meantime, after 35 years of farming, is this too personal?
No.
After 35 years of farming, just in a joke, I said to the cashier at the bank, they were friends of Eric, and I said, sometime if you're looking for someone, help try me. I'd like to see if I can go back into office work again. But that time, we were off the farm. There wasn't all that work to do, you know. And much to my surprise, he asked me if I wanted to come in for summer help. And I said, well, I'll try it. So I stayed for 11 years.
Mm.
So it was a pretty long summer. But I enjoyed it very much, being back into the public again.
Mm.
And let's see. Well, since that, I'm here. Now, that's just as far as my personal thing is concerned. And I've been a member of Quaker Church, and even members of Quaker Church. We work in the church.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I do.
Mm.
I just the things that everybody does when they get older, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth.
Mm. What did your parents do?
My father was a baker. They had small bakeries around, and you know, like, we didn't have a truckload of stuff coming out. You had a bakery, and that's where you got your things in the small town.
Mm.
And that's how we had to come to Delta, because he had been in that business in his line and was made an offer by a bakery and told him to come to Delta.
Mm.
So if we were in Delta for a few years, my mother decided to start a ladies' shop where she sold, you know, all kinds of ladies. I think she called it the Model Nation Store or something like that. And this went on for many years until he got sick and died. But that was during the last really big depression we had, you know.
Mm.
And business got down pretty much, and it was pretty big job for them and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And
what was this area like growing up in?
Well, it was wonderful. I had many friends here. There was quite a competition between the Delta School and the Clay Ridge School because one on Delta, you know, had a Pennsylvania one, Clay Ridge, and the high school was out here too. It wasn't consolidated like it is now. And we had pretty much the same kind of thing. We had basketball teams and the same kind of competition between two schools that you have now.
Mm-hmm.
Only the schools, both Delta and Clay Ridge, of course, were so much smaller in comparison to what the schools are today.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I think it was a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
We really had a great time. And the boys, you know, around the same age, the girls, same, and there were a lot of us around here.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the friends that I have today are gone now, but some of them are still here in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we're all old too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the friendships, many of the friendships that I have today have lasted for all these years.
Mm.
And now, Carthage and Delta, it wasn't between Carthage and Delta. You would really not know the difference. I know you were talking about Harford County, but Delta was Lower York County, and this was Northern Harford County.
Mm-hmm.
We always felt, and I have to put this in, that we were very much neglected, Northern Harford County. We still are. Now put that in too.
Mm-hmm.
The same as not just been through it. You up here about the hour. I'm on the same as the fact that he couldn't do anything with Mr. Behringer, so I'm gonna put that in. But you can if you want to. But we're still on the tail end of Harford County up here.
Uh-huh.
And if they have anything left, we get, except at election time. Then we can get something a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And Ella was on the lower end of York County, and they were in the same kind of condition. So we also felt pretty much neglected. And I can't say that there's a difference, of course, in the things that you did and the fun you had, because you weren't roaming around all over the country. You had a party at your house, or the bunch of you went out for a ride someplace, or that sort of thing. It was very much more economical than it is now. But we had a lot of fun, lots of fun. There was much more, well, in Harford County particularly, there was an awful lot of, not intermarrying, but interrelationships. I mean, you know, one family would have been here for years, and then their sons or whatever, which was, in our particular case, we were the third generation on that farm. And this was very, the usual thing. Everybody knew everybody else's grandmother and grandfather and extended the children too. There were a bunch of us young people around here, and we all had a good time. We had a lot of fun. And I do remember very distinctly that after I went onto the farm, for a while, I see that so many of the roads were the dirt. They'd have you get a little patch of macadam, depending on if you knew somebody in the government. And I remember when we first had the macadamized road put in from Route 136 into our farm, which is called East Road. And it just went to our tenant house. And one of my friends came in there one day and she said, "If this isn't a political road, I never saw one." And it was really, it was true, because my husband and his father were always very political minded. They both of them ran for office at one time, and you don't know the county commissioner. They don't even have them anymore. And but they were always very political minded. And my husband was on the election board and all that sort of thing over the years, and finally on the tax review board and that sort of thing. So it's probably nice to hear somebody to hear somebody. But then now they finally had gotten good roads almost every place. That road eventually went clear on through the town. And I really can't see when you say what was it like then. Let's see. Well, I'll speak from the farming industry. We had to haul our milk out in the mornings. Now, before my time as a farm wife, there was a creamery down around Prospect. You probably heard this before today. And this is where they took the milk back with a spring wagon and a horse, or maybe two horses. Just one horse, I think. But afterwards, they hauled milk to Powellsville, to the creamery, with the Western Maryland Dairies. Well then, I'm trying to think whether the ELP gets milk any other way. I don't know. But I know that they hauled it to the creamery. And of course that posed a problem when we had bad weather too, because they had to get out. Our roads would be drifting in, and it would be quite a while trying to get them shoveled out. In fact, they had to shovel them out themselves. They didn't have machinery to come along and plow through your road. They shoveled them. And when we didn't have the snow in the wintertime, when we had snow in the wintertime, in the spring, it would thaw. And then we'd have mud for a while, which was difficult to get in and out. I remember after cars, everybody had a car, you know. I have different times started out the road, got stuck in the mud with my car, and I'd holler for help. They'd come and bring the truck out and try to pull the car out, or the tractor, they had a little tractor. And if that would get stuck, it was just a little thing. Then they had to go back to get the mules to pull the tractor out. So it was pretty complicated. But everybody, I don't know, you didn't expect so much then.
Uh-huh.
I give you now. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we did ship milk, so, you know, to and haul it to the cleaners from the cherry there. Mm-hmm. That was our main product. Of course, at that time, we did the usual farming that people raised everything. We raised corn, we raised wheat, we had chickens.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't so specialized like it was now. Mm-hmm. It didn't have, we had different ways cut corn and you husk it, you know, and you did all that sort of thing. You didn't have one big machinery that was going along good and couldn't see it sometime. It looks like it. Quite an experience, particularly for me, who was half-wood but not a farm girl. But I liked it. I really enjoyed it doing it. I preferred it and sold it down. So, it was fun, a lot of work. And then, well, I'm talking about Prospect Creamery now, in case you know. As far as that road is concerned, the main road, that 136 that goes down there, was just a dirt road.
Mm-hmm.
And at the crossroads down there, it was Prospect Store. A lot of the houses that keep along on that road aren't even here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So then eventually they macadamized it the whole way through and widened it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, a lot of the houses had to be taken in.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Eric Farm's concerned, we were off the road and we didn't have anything taken off there. The farm is still there, the flood. In the meantime, the barn burnt down and they had built a barn.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no difference there at all, except that they farm in a very different way from what we did.
Mm-hmm.
Very large machinery, you know, expensive machinery.
Mm-hmm.
But, not good.
Mm-hmm.
But the small town, if you're thinking about small towns here in Cardiff,
mm-hmm.
You used to know everybody that lived in every house.
Mm-hmm.
And that has changed very much with particularly with Delta and this unserving Cardiff.
Mm-hmm.
The names, you don't know the people because
mm-hmm.
they don't. But there's no complaint about that. The people that we've had to come in here have been really a boon.
Mm-hmm.
Because I said we were dying. And this is true because the old people who were so interested
mm-hmm.
were just not interested in certain things up.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we had the freight quarries up here too. And most of the people originally that, go back years, a large percentage of the population up through Delta and Cardiff here too were men who had worked in the freight quarries. A great
mm-hmm.
many of them were from Wales, or their ancestors had come from Wales.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the main occupation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had a movie down here. We had a hotel right down at that corner, which was in the dorm, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of stores and things. So along the road, there was a store out at Whiteford, where the drugstore is out there. And there was a store right across the street from that grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
There was another grocery store, Reamer's, where the post office is now. And the drugstore, of course, wasn't there. That's been more recently built.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, now, I don't know what else you want to know.
Could you get pretty much everything you needed here in town?
Yes, you really could. Going to the grocery stores, well, there were no such things as these big super strips and all that sort of thing. You went to the grocery store, and we have some very nice, very good stores here, and they would even deliver your things to you. You know, if you called up, now you're coming down this way today, well, they bring them down.
Huh.
And they were very obliging. Very obliging. I know Reamer's particularly out of Whiteford that they were. And another thing about that, on a certain day you went to the grocery store, I always used to say, if you would go on Thursday, that was the day that got the stuff in, you saw all your friends up there. They were just going like into a store, sitting around. And down at Prospect, the store down there was smaller than up here. And you know where Prospect is? It's not very far from just a couple of miles down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And That was one of those stores that you sat around the stove and talked to your friends, you know. Mm-hmm. But up here, yes, you really could get practically everything you wanted. Mm-hmm. Now, clothes. Well, we even had clothing stores up here, too. But going to Baltimore or York, Pennsylvania, which was another place, it was a big trip. Mm-hmm. It was a big day. And you went, you planned to go, and you went. And you drove your car, if you had one, or you went on a train and came back. But as far as buying anything, there was really no problem. Of course, they didn't expect them to have all this packaged food and these convenience foods. Mm-hmm. You did that yourself. Mm-hmm. You canned things and dried things. And you always had plenty to eat that you could go down your basement and get the things out of. Mm. And you didn't run over to the store and get a TV dinner and that sort of thing. You didn't expect to. Mm-hmm. It was really no problem, really. Mm. Because you had grown eggs and milk and things on the farm. Mm-hmm. It was really no problem at all. Mm. In fact, I thought sometimes that we who lived in the country were, I had been raised by said in a small town, and I seemed to be, we went to the store every other day because there's only a couple of doors up the street. We get to need bread, so we go get bread. We go get a can of beans or whatever. And we lived in the country. We provided, had it, we had our own things. We didn't do that. Mm-hmm. And that's a matter of good management, really. Mm-hmm. I say, you know. No, there was really nothing. We even had, when cars came out, everything, we had automobile dealers and everything here that was just too willing to accommodate you. Mm-hmm. The mail delivery was in the country, just like it is mail. They came around throughout the country, up mailbox, you know, and there's nothing different there. Mm-hmm. Right. Something else. Mm-hmm. The getting through produce and things out in the winter time was really the worst problem. Milk, particularly, I'm tired to mention that because that's what we dealt in. Mm-hmm. But I got a sense that we did deal with, we didn't have in the family. Oh, I don't mean nothing. We didn't have the conveniences like we have now. There's no question about it. But we didn't expect to have them. Mm-hmm. We were very well satisfied with the day. I think there was more visiting done then than there is now. Because now, your big deal is to go out someplace for dinner. You go up York, Baltimore, Bel Air, someplace. But at that time, there was nothing of that. You were invited to your friend's home, your whole family. Come after church and we'll have dinner, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was a social event. Mm-hmm. And that was what they expected to do. Mm-hmm. You had a party. I remember very distinctly my own graduation from high school, which was 1918, and our prom, we had lemonade and cake at somebody's house. Mm. And we had a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Now, you have to invest $100 or so to have a prom night, because you got all have to dress up like that, and you have to go someplace. Mm-hmm. And I can't see where we had such a much fun. Mm-hmm. Just as much. Mm-hmm. But it was different that place. There's no question about that.
Were the three different towns all different in themselves? The Cardiff was certain things that she
and Delta for the two towns. And when we got, when you're mentioning Whiteford out there, that was everybody that went to school to Slate Bridge for now, that was never, I don't know how they got Cardiff, there was just more houses here in Cardiff, that's it. Delta's a borough. Mm-hmm. And so it was Pennsylvania and the borough, right across the street is Pennsylvania. And, but Whiteford was just a mailing place, mail. You know, country mm-hmm. store, and there was just a few houses there. Mm-hmm. And all those people, from there on down to, in both directions for several miles, went to Slate Ridge to school. Mm-hmm. And that was another thing. You had to get to school yourself. There was no bus, there was not always busing. But when my husband went to school down there, they were just Sunday school, one union Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
And but in Delvin, we had a school with all the grades in it.
Mm-hmm.
But and a high school. Well, then eventually, before he was in high school, even, they built the school up here at Slate Bridge. Now, I understand that's outdated and they're trying to get a new school. But his original schooling was, there was a one room country school at Mill Green. Do you know what that is?
Mm.
Well, there was one there, and then there was one that was back over the ridge that they called Rock Hill. That was the country school. And then there was one that they called Vernon, down near where Vernon Church is, you know, where Methodist Prospect Hill. So you see, right in that area, there were three separate schools.
Mm-hmm.
You could go to any of them.
Mm-hmm.
One room, the one teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if one of them had two teachers or not.
Mm-hmm.
But personally, I went up here to Delvin, and we had all grades in high school all together.
Uh-huh.
But the Harper County ones there. And they made, as I said, they had their own transportation. You got there. You walked or you drove your own horse or you did whatever. Well, then, a little later on, they decided to run a bus. Now, this was when my daughter was going to school up here at Lake Ridge. But they wouldn't come in off of the main road, so you had to walk from our place, which is about a quarter of a mile in the road off the main road. I think so. I forget how they did that. Oh, if you were more than a half, how was that? You had to pay $1.50 in high school if you were more than a mile off of the road or something. I know we just came under that when she got to high school. We didn't have to pay. We were just a quarter of a mile. But she had to walk from our place out to the main road. Mm-hmm. Take the bus in, now the bus runs in there and went all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the transportation.
Mm-hmm.
And the children, different ones of the children, that walked, well, my husband walked to school. They walked to school. A little later, if they got bigger, they had a horse, you know, and went to school. So that was when country schools were done away with, and it was fixed like this.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's going to be done away with. How we do change,
mm-hmm.
How we do grow. I don't know if we grow.
Did a lot of the farmers come into the town, say on Saturdays and stuff?
Yes, I think they did. There was a time, this goes way back to that, we had two hotels. I think they're both on the Pennsylvania side, though, because I know this one down here. I guess I missed Pennsylvania again, or they went uptown. And then Saturday night was big night.
Mm-hmm.
The quarrymen and so on and so forth got at their places. So then the WCCU ladies got a hold of it and decided to get rid of the hotels, which they did. So that gathering of that wasn't so much of the farmers, though. That was more of the quarrymen. The farmers, but they were kind of tired, I guess. But anyway, we had a lot of fun. I mean, we really had a lot of fun. We had parties. Alone, and the nights weren't. One thing that I have noticed so much about the country when you go to end, like in the area where I was, and everybody else, when I first went down there, you couldn't see a light any place, and now you just walk out and just lights every place,
mm-hmm.
And you couldn't see lights. When we first moved there. Or when I first moved there, and they had what they call acetylene lights in the house. You know what they are? Well, now they're, I can tell you about. They thought this was really a great thing, because most of the farm houses just had lamps. And that is for their, for lighting. And they had acetylene lights put in. They were a gas. If you had I don't know how to describe it exactly. You made your own gas. you had to have it filled up with some kind of whatever I did. And the lights, they had fixtures and everything that you lit them just like a gas light that you would, I know you're probably too young to remember gas lights in the city, but you know, they had a thing now from long you could come after and lit it. So it was very good lighting, really. Mm. And I know we had in our dining room, we had a beautiful lamp in lamps that went down like this. Now those lamps, I think we probably sold it for $5, and now they're worth $500. we didn't have electricity put in there because for about, 5 or 6 years they tried it there. Because the line, the electric line, did not run down there. And we had a choice. It ran down the main road, and those of us who went in off the road had to pay at the expense of putting it in, plus the expense of maintenance, you know, with the wiring and the poles and things went wrong. So when we put our line in, we decided to put in electricity. After these acetylene lights, which were very good, different ones were brought us around, has been, but they were considered a luxury, you know, acetylene lights. But you couldn't attach any, like a wash machine or any kind of things like that to them. They just made it light. And a very good light. So then finally the electric company decided to, they put the line down the road, down the main road. But those of us who wanted to have to pay for putting it in. Mm-hmm. And we had a choice of paying for the line or paying $8 a month. They would put it in, keep it up for $8 a month. Mm-hmm. Well, some of us thought that $8 a month was a lot of money. But then we decided, well, we'll just go ahead and let them put the line in, we'll pay the $8 a month. Well, it wasn't any time until we were using more than $8 worth of electricity, so it was a wise choice. And after that was, 1928, I think that's what I went in there. Hmm. So then, later on, they came out with the electric, milk cooler. Because before that, we had to just have a thing and set our milk cans in icy water. Mm-hmm. And then they had electric milk cores. Mm-hmm. And then we had a little interim in there with the old depression, you know, the first depression. I'll never forget that, because that was the electric milk cooler we bought was the first thing we ever bought on time. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. And we thought a long time. We didn't want to go in debt for anything, you know. And now it's so different today, nobody bothers about that. But this man was trying to sell us the electric tour. And so we finally, and he said, in order to sell us, that he would give us part of his commission off. And we thought that's a pretty good deal, so we'll buy it. He dropped dead. We had no written contract. And the depression came, and the milk prices went down to 1/2. Well, we that thought to ourselves, this is our last installment fine, or however it was. We went along with the crowd later on. But that was a big blow, I'll tell you. It really was. And of course, the depression was a pretty bad time, very bad time. But we survived.
Did it have much effect around here?
Yes, it did. Not like it does in the city, though. Because, you know, when you're on a farm, you're pretty much self-supporting. And the fact that you don't get as much for your stuff, and maybe you are a little more heavily in debt as you'd like to be, but you can pretty much survive. You really can. Our main thing that I ever felt about it was the fact that we did have to economize on the things we did and the things that we bought, the clothing and things like that. We had a little cheaper of our own, but it's no comparison to the cities at the time of depression. Mm-hmm. We survived. We growled a little bit, you know, worked a little harder maybe, but it's a pretty big blow when you're first married particularly, and then you had the bottom drop out of everything like that. You feel like it was pretty good stuff. But some of the people had problems here, of course. Mm-hmm. I didn't know any starvation or anything at that time. Mm-hmm. And they just, people helped other people. And it's just, that's not what I feel. But they finally, came back again after a while. And, I remember one year, and this seems so ridiculous when you think of the prices today. We raised tomatoes one year to ship to the tannery in Baltimore. And we had a sort of a huckster that picked these things up, you know. And he came home and he'd gotten $1 a bushel for tomatoes. We just thought we were millionaires. $1 a bushel. Now you get a little package that's $15 for $1. And it's really, when you think about it, it's funny. But one thing we did, and this is definitely personal, we always thought we needed to take one vacation, it might be 2 days, one day or whatever. So when we went to Atlantic City, we always liked to go to Atlantic City. But when the Depression hit us so hard that we just couldn't afford the hotel bill, we'd get up and early in the morning and go to Atlantic City, and then we would stay over one night, and then we'd stay there all the next day. So actually we had only one night's hotel bill and 2 whole days. Mm-hmm. And that was. So you see, you can do things. Mm-hmm. When times get hard. We had a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And we have lots of friends. Lots of friends. The country's a very it's a friendly place. It really is. Mm-hmm. You have friends, and you can make your own amusement, or you can go together. And, but I don't know. There may have been some people that had to go out of business because of the Depression. My mother, for one, really did, but she was getting up to an age where she just couldn't take it. She things are stopped at the entrance door, and the prices had fallen, so you know they really fell, even with the any kind of anything you had to sell. The prices just bottom just got faster. And we had some people who the banks closed, of course. And I know with my own father, he had always, he never would buy an investment. He was putting his money in the bank to save. So the very time he needed the money, the bank was closed. Now, eventually, he was paid off, eventually. But right at the time, psychologically, it had a terrific effect on a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I know some of the farmers had gone into the stock market on the produce, buying and selling short. Mm-hmm. On wheat and that sort of thing. And some of them who really couldn't afford to do it, but it was a gamble, you know. Mm-hmm. I know one man particularly, an older man, who lost heavily on that because the market closed, you know, and that's what he knew. But that taught a lot of people a lesson, too, if they hadn't forgotten it by this time. Mm-hmm. I feel it's, personally, I've said this many times, it was education that comes through that last depression. This that we're having now has never hit me hard like it has the younger people, because I remember that other one so much. And hopefully we won't get into that kind of mess again. But anyway, I don't know. I know some of the merchants. I know one place particularly were very much upset, wondering if they'd make it through, but they did. Because you had bought things at such a high price, you know, particularly people who had a feed and things like that, and then all of a sudden, like, you have to sell it for this, whatever the market then. And that was pretty bad. And people have had, of course, the farmers are going through this now. They're very, farming is so dependent on the weather, the market, and everything. You have to be a pretty good gambler to do it. But then, most people who farm like it very much. But the people who come out from the cities and think they'll buy a farm and think you have to do nothing but just sit there and mow the grass and raise a cow or a sheep or something and put it in the freezer, they've got a lot to learn.
Did you have bad years sometimes with weather?
Oh, yes, you'd have bad years. And then lots of times you'd have the, not only with the market, but suppose you had no rain when you needed it, or you might have an epidemic of bugs and things that eat your crop up, and that was scary. Or with animals, with cows and things. I remember one time we bought a cow one day. Paid $300 at that time. That was a terrible price to pay for a cow. The cow died the next day. It had some kind of ailment. And this went on and on. I mean, that you expected and hoped for the best. But this is true. It is. And you could have not enough rain or too much rain. Well, at the time you were trying to get your wheat crop in, you'd have you'd have it stacked up out in the field, and then you'd get a terrific rain, and maybe it would wash down places. And but then maybe next year it would be just rain. So it was an up and down thing. That's true. Many, I can say this from my viewpoint of not having been raised on a farm. Many people felt that farmers' wives had to work so hard. And I know before I was married, these great parents, I'm a city girl, I'm going on the farm, you'll be sorry and all this. And you can arrange that yourself. It's like every other job that you do. Now it's different when you have so many conveniences and everything, it's really make that much difference. But you can manage. If you put your mind to it, you can manage. Mm-hmm. It's no worse, not as bad as the most things in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Not as bad, I certainly wouldn't say that. But they used to feel like a farm life was drudgery. I mean, you had to work so hard, you had to do this, and you did have to work hard. But you have to work hard doing anything to do. Mm-hmm. You want to do it right. Mm-hmm. So it's tough. And as far as the profits and things like that are concerned, they're very up and down. There's no question about that. Mm-hmm. Because the weather has played such a big place in it. Of course, now everybody has this big farm, and they have this big machine, and they farm maybe two or three or four different places. I think our farm was about 150 some acres, and we just farmed our farm. Mm-hmm. And that was it. They didn't have all that machinery. Later on, towards the last, well, we did worry some other people. Then that was another thing. When they thrashed. I don't know what thrashing is or not. Well, anyway, this is when you were getting your crops in, and this is during harvest. The farmers helped each other. And that was a good thing. They had small equipment, and some of it had to be done by hand. And you had the farmers a certain day. One of the farmers would farm, and then if you were going to have the thrashers that day, you put them in the thrash. They were your neighbors, and you had to feed them for dinner. That was something sometimes for two meals. And they'd come and they'd make a kind of a fun out of it. Everybody would like. They pick out someplace, we'll help them put on their trash because his wife makes big dinner. And I like to go to their place because they have, I always used to have fried chicken and candied sweet potatoes. And one of them said he always liked some grass place because we had fried chicken and candied sweet potatoes. And it's just more of And the thing he has to worry about is how much I'm going to see him. So that's a different story. Quite a different story. I am most of the area around Ashton, down where I live, most of it is still farm, but now I noticed this one farm that's next to where the Brent of Ashton earlier has died, and I've heard recently that that farm has been sold to the Whitefoot Packing Company out here. So you see what they will do, they'll just farm it themselves for their cannon. It's a different story from when, you know, you farm and you can do stuff for the market and that kind of thing. And that's been a lot of them have done. Of course, there are a lot of houses around here, too. There's been a lot of buildings around different places. Not in this particular little town, it makes it very still change here. Mm-hmm. Well, there's no place to go here. I mean, see, we're right down in a valley here. And here's the state quarries up there, because I do two streets, Second Street and this street. Mm-hmm. And there's really no place to go. We get on the other side of the ridge. Mm-hmm. So we can't go that much as far as the housing is concerned. Mm-hmm. We have done everything that everybody else has. I really think we did before, too. We had movies. Now, I do remember about the first radio that came out. Oh. And that was, you mean this is, am I telling you something?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Yeah. I didn't know I was that old. I am. when radios first came out, they were something that, yeah, the radio was really something. And I remember one of our neighbors, one of the funny little, there's a thing about that long, about that wide, and had wire this way. And you had to convert your own, for instance, we had a small cabinet on the dining room seat, and that's what we put radio up on. And the wire ran underneath, you put the batteries, ran the batteries, run on batteries, down underneath. But we didn't get one when we first went out because we couldn't afford it. So one of our neighbors, an older man who had stayed up home, had one. And then if they would had to put earphones on to listen, and of course one person would have to listen, and then if somebody else would listen, they'd get off. And I remember he invited Phil, my husband, to come over to listen to what's been a baseball game, or maybe football, I think that's what it was, a game of some kind. And he and my husband was tickled to death to get over there and listen to this game. But he, and this is the way he operated. And finally, they got a little more kind of full around. Mm-hmm. But that was the first radio. And then sometime later, that's television came out. Mm-hmm. And then we finally got one ourselves, the radio. And at first, they were run on batteries. And of course, when your batteries went dead, then you had to either get the new charge or you had to get a new battery. Mm. And this is, then came television. And we didn't even have a television for a long time, but they really weren't interested. I remember I had a woman came to help me in the house, because I had, you know, like once a week or something like that. And she was a, and after she, when she was about to go home that day, she said to me, "You don't have television." And I said to my husband, "If she left, I said, she just treated me like I was poor." But you know, if they had one plug, they're going to get television if they have anything else. We finally got television. And what a cut that. But that goes back. I don't know when the first radio came out, but that's what they were. It was really, you know, something that you really invited your friends in, and then you had to take your earphone and let them listen a little bit, and then you'd go back and listen a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Then it got better after that, of course. That was just the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And there's been an awful lot of improvements, progress, and different thinking, and we could have cut off.
said your, I think your father and your husband had been interested in politics?
My father-in-law.
Oh, your father.
His husband, my husband, and his father, they were always very interested in politics, and we were Democrats. I used to laugh because my father was like that too. He always said he voted for the best man, but the best man was always a Democrat. So just my husband ran for county commissioner one time, and his father ran for county commissioner one time. Neither one of them made it. But I had been through the first round. I'd been through the circuit of dinners and whatever. It's quite an experience too. You met a lot of people, you know. You hated to lose, but you lost. And as I said, my husband was election. He was also on the after he left the farm, he was on the tax board, and that is the tax. Where the people could even complain about their taxes. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And he was, they were very interesting politics.
Did a lot more people get involved? Did people get involved locally in elections or
that? Yes, and this is one thing. We had another Mr. Heath, they were here, Michael Heath. You know, you're not Harvest family, are you? Well, Heathers, at one time, this whole section was all Bly Heathers up here. And I think they were from originally from the same background, but not closely related, you know. But Michael Heath, one time, was in the legislature. Yes, there were men from up here in the legislature. And there was Mr. Whitebridge, he's been dead for some time. He was down in the legislature. We used to have some pretty good politics up around here. And then my complaint was that since we haven't had those people here, part of has had a struggle to try to, I would say, because we don't have anybody ding-donging at them. So Mr. Amos, I was trying to get the road back to the church up here passed. I didn't care if it, and so I was talking to Mr. Amos, about it, and he was going to try to get it done, and I said, since my husband died and Michael Heath had died, I said, we just don't have anybody. I said, all they do is complain, but they never complain there. They just complain to you or the neighbors or something. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll appoint you mayor of Florida. I said, no, I don't want any official capacity, but I would like to have your control. We got a tax, but then he thought he could get it to Blacktop, because we really did have an agreement. If I had a copy of it with the government, that we took it up to Mr. Barrington, and he obviously didn't manage. So that's nothing to do, just let him mumble on and go in. Because I think we've had so many complaints that things, so many roads need to be done. But we have, at one time, we had different people up here that
What happened to
McNabb? Yes, McNabb. Did you know him? McNabb was not here in Cardiff, but just a couple miles down the road. Mr. Charlie McNabb, who was a lawyer, was up there next to the station, talked to Dr. Wilhelm. He lived in that house next there, and he was quite a prominent citizen one time. And Paul McNabb was, over the years, clearly died. I was just trying to think of anybody else that might have been really that actor. I know Mr. Joe Whiteford sometimes was down in Annapolis, but he's been gone many years. I don't think the younger ones, they just don't seem to bother doing it.
Do you all feel sort of isolated in a way?
Well, yes, because we're up in Prince Edward County. We feel isolated if we want something. We don't have much power. We don't have much influence. And this has been one of my complaints. I mean, that was one of the things that I was complaining about when I was talking to Mr. Amos, because I feel they just sort of ignore us up here. And I know the people from Yorktown feel the same way about Yorktown. So we're kind of up in here, you know, they just, mm-hmm. just don't bother. Of course, with the other counties, it has, Delaware used to be a little town, and you know what it is now, and so much of that has gone down towards Baltimore, mm-hmm. and there's more people, there's more industry, and we have no place for industry up here, and really, as far as I'm concerned, I don't care, because I don't know what you do with them if we have open up garages and all that kind of stuff, but I mean, you know, there's no place for it, it's just not industrial place for it. And if you're going to have influence in what they decide to do or not to do, you have to be an industry. Because everybody's cutting everybody off the throat all the time. That's a hard thing. Personally, I vote. I have never missed a time of voting. Many times I've gone to Bruce and I couldn't care less. But I go because I think you ought to go. Mm-hmm. And there are many people who just said, what do you think going? I don't get any place to that. I think that's the wrong attitude. And I don't know what to do about that whole thing. But we feel isolated. This is true. Mm-hmm. And because there hasn't been that much progress, that much building, and as I said, there's no place to go. And we've had a run, just within the last couple of years, on houses. And many of these houses up here had been to the point of no return almost. I mean, you know, people just didn't want to buy them, and particularly in Delaware. But we've had a bunch of school teachers have come up here and bought these houses and fixed them up themselves, because properties had gotten so expensive further down in this county. And also taxes were hard in there. And it's been a big help to the community. Our community has really grown in the last few years, and not only grown, but has been, it's much more, there's more culture, and there's more everything that you want. It isn't just somebody that's old and retired and calling back, you know, but I'm waiting to die. Mm-hmm. And it's been a big help. Hmm. Now that's kind of slapping off a little bit though, because of this terrible high price of things and the high interest rates and so on. But we had a lot of improvements here, that's true. Hmm. When we moved into this house, which has been 22 years ago, and we have we had no intention of staying here. The house was running down to the new state, as I told you, so we thought we had sold the farm and we were going to build out the front of town. And we fixed it up and we didn't sell it. That was my friend, as I told to my husband, he really didn't improve anything. We never did. But that's been a blessing too, because then when he died, so suddenly, if I'd have been well, something with the house around me, I would have had to sell it anyway. I wouldn't have stayed out there. But here I'm commercially, we're surrounded, but this church is up here, and I was thinking, and here, just a time. But a lot of the houses had run down, you know. Mm-hmm. But there's no specific improvement in that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people are nice. Really are.
Now, see, in industry, did you hear much about the marble quarry? Has that always been
at that time, yes. It was operating. And of course, it's like the other quarries around here, you know. They see that whole ridge. There used to be freight quarries on that whole ridge up here. Hmm. Have you never heard that before? Gee, you've got a lot to learn. This was a freight quarry country. And an awful lot of the people that lived. Now, the man that built these houses was a Mr. Lloyd. And of course, the Lloyd. We're wealth people. We had a great many wealth people around here. The man that lived in the house right back to me were Robertses. Now they had their thing, and you know, a number of times, I guess. Well, his wife was a Robert, and this was her grandfather's house right back here. And they have and I think one of their sons runs this place again. Yeah, they make the iron things like, oh, It's some kind of equipment that's made of iron, and it's not as good. And most, a lot of the well people were, a lot of the people were well. And there were several quarries up on the ridge here, right up above here, that extended from the, let's see, there's a quarry hole, right? I think about the end of that, on the ridge, is out on the other side of 136. Up on the ridge, there's a quarry hole clear on out there. And that runs all the way from here up here through Delta to a little place we used to call Bangor up here, but it's no place anymore. It's clear the other end of Delta, and that whole ridge was nothing but quarry. Mm. And they were very, the industry was great down. A lot of these people had come over from Wales to work in these quarries, because the Welsh people are quarriers, you know. And this Peak Bottom place is was considered some of the best place in the world. Now my group, and I have it in there, Peak Bottom place. Mm. And someone stopped here one day who was writing a book on the Welsh, and they saw a plate on the roof, and they came in here to try to find out something. I sent them on up to an old gentleman up on the hill, who's dead now, and he knew everything from way back. But this is very busy. Mm-hmm. And those people, they mined the slate, and then they, I guess you call it, they protested, because they made slabs, you know, and they worked in the, well, they had sort of sheds there, and you had to know, it was an accomplishment to know exactly how to cut this slate and so on. And that was the industry here at that time. And, but then, they came out with all of these synthetics and that sort of thing. So the slate quarries themselves, now I'm surprised you haven't heard this from somebody before, because this is, so many people have looked, you know, have come to that. The slate quarries then began to go downhill, because they came out with so much all other kinds of roofing, you know, and all that sort of thing. And then a couple of companies bought these quarries out and ground the slate. And one of them was out here at Byford, on the other side of Byford, and one of them was down on the other side of Stella. And for a while they were very successful. They ground it and shipped it. Well, then something else came out, and all this synthetic material, you know. And so then either one of those people didn't anymore. But the quarries are still up along on the ridge, the whole way up there. But they don't operate. And the only thing that happens on these quarries up here on this hill is a whole bunch of the people come up from Baltimore on Sundays and down themselves with somebody else at the regular stand for marijuana and cocaine and whatever, and they're shooting and so on. The top coming off the time of my feet. I mean, it's back on the hill. It used to be a beautiful place up there that you walk, and now you wouldn't dare go up there to walk around for anything. Hmm. But that was quite an industry, really, for a long time.
Now, these Welsh people, did they stay among themselves? Or?
We have, nobody moved all over the place, but now, most of them, they come back on, there's a few of the younger ones left. Now I'll say like my generation, not the younger ones. There's just a few of my generation left. I'm up north. But then their children, they don't bother with anything. But they have now gotten back to having a club at Welsh. People have come from here, and they have twice a year, there's a Welsh church still up in Delaware, which doesn't belong to any synod or anything like that. They just a few other people, it's one pretty nice church up there. And twice a year, they have what they call their Madonna, and that's a singing. They sing, and in Martha singers, you know. It's just congregational things, but they come from all over for that. Up in Pennsylvania, you know, Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, and those places, right? And they have their churches, they had one just a couple of weeks ago, just packed full of people. People come from Baltimore, they have a Welsh club in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And they have sort of, as far as industry is concerned, it's nothing. But they have sort of revived that. But all along the ridge up there, that's just nothing but piles, huge piles of slate and stuff, and behold, and what it is. But it's a great industry here. Now, we first started talking about the green marble. It was really not really a part of that industry. The people that, I don't remember when that green marble started, but I remember when there was a skating pond down there at that place. So I skated down there. But the people that first owned that green marble had come out of Baltimore, I guess, or someplace. And that was more of a, well, it was mining, but it wasn't exactly, well, it was marble instead of slate, you know, to put it that way. But that operated for a little while. I don't know why it ever stopped. And then they started up again here a couple of years ago, making products, not just shipping the marble. That was considered very, very high grade of marble here. But they started making, bookends and that kind of stuff. But that didn't last very long. It just seemed like I couldn't get a stand. I think there is a vein, though, that runs someplace under if they had enough money to get to it. You know, those veins run out. I mean, the same way with the slate, you know, they have to keep, oh, just like a mine or anything else. You go so far and then you run out and you have to come again. But that really, in Delaware, that was one of the main industries for a long, long time. And the wealth still, they try to struggle. My next door neighbor there still. And they don't even speak the language, only a few words that they know, you know. But now they've got the old tradition to life. And it's gotten to be quite a, this month done it, but they have got to be quite a thing. But most of that's the Delta Pacific and Florida here. I mean, I was just thinking since you mentioned that, I hadn't thought much about it, but I can really see most of these houses in Florida, I expect, were built for wealthy people. Because most of the houses up there are old. Now, up on 7th Street there, we've got the old home, and said, you have to loan out his house and this one next to that. And of course, with an example, it's on the other side, the black machine, you know. That now those three houses and the parsonage, but then the next three for all I know were built by wealthy people years ago, you know, close enough. People didn't say, people died. But you used to on Saturday night you were talking about, this was more in Delta than down here, because Delta they had sidewalks down here, we didn't have sidewalks down. And these people would be on Saturday night. Of course, they had the two hotels, and they'd be walking up the street, chattering away in wealth. They'd been out for a little beer, and just they're walking, no cars, and all. It was one of them. But they were the wealth people. And that's where the name Cardiff comes from, you know, Wales. Cardiff, Wales. And they had a centennial up here a couple of years ago, and the mayor of Cardiff Wales was here. He just, I don't think the same purpose, but he had to be involved in some place, and somebody got old and brought him up here. But that's actually the origin of the town of Cardiff. And most of those people, like Mr. Lloyd, who I said his family, they were, and at these three houses along here, I know he built, and the movie halberd down now, but it's at Lloyd Hall. That's where they had the whatever we had shows before and so on. One of those houses over there was his house, two of them over there. There'd be like one successful sort of a patriarch, I guess you'd call him, you know, and he would build and do it and we have one of these older ladies in the wealth that they just told me yesterday, she's about, not quite 90, I guess, and just don't break her hip. So she was one of the ones that was one of the sponsors that, you know, kept this thing going. But as I said before, some of the younger ones have now taken it up. As you know, we're getting more the genealogy type of people who get so hepped up on that ancestry now. It's more interesting and more prevalent, I think, people are more interested in that sort of thing. We have a museum. There's a museum up in Delaware now, in the old bank building that's open well, weekend, I think that. And anybody that's interested in the background of the area, it's an interesting place to go to look around. I've lived around here so long, you know, I don't get all excited over those things, but then when I got started talking, then you learn. But we do, as you said, feel sort of isolated. Only, not isolated socially at all. We don't feel that way at all. I think everybody's discontent. And different people that have moved into the community here have been surprised. They feel like they're moving into a small town and what, nothing to do and so on, but they're very surprised because the people are sociable. And if you want to play bridge, you can get a bridge dinner and it'll be fun. That's my thing. But it's, and of course, we're away from the city, but it doesn't take you long to go anyplace. You can go and be involved in no time. And any place like that, if you want to, in the town, the same things we do. Most of the people here that live here work. Man, that's the teacher up here in the hill. I think he teaches them. No, he's not the teacher, the man with them. He's the teacher, and I think he teaches down at Edgewood or someplace. And this man works at out on Route 40 or something. They're getting Baltimore, really, down. Now, they go back and forth every day. And most of them, they say, there's not much to do here, except you have a garage and you want to work in it. Or the grocery store, nothing for engineers and all that kind of stuff. We have one, there is one color card that place up from 136 and one, and that's a pretty good size. And those people came over here from England. It's a pretty good size thing. They make the, well, you know, when you see paint, ads, and they have these different cars. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they make colors. They call it a color cars factory. I don't know how many people we employ, but that's what they make. Mm-hmm. And we have sewing factories and two things like that. That's how it works as far as anything you can do to make money here. Mm-hmm. You're not going to sit yourself what they pay you. It doesn't cost that much to live with you.
What you were thinking about the train. When you went to Baltimore, how would you go? Was there a station here?
Oh, yeah. A lot of stations. We had from, I can just show you a picture. Now, these are railroad stations. This is somebody did these cards to sell. And these ones, they look like those. That's Lightford right out here. That station's still here. But the Lightford Vacuum Company uses those. Are all Lightford.
Yes. That's the Delta. That looks bigger.
Yeah. Oh, Delta was a much bigger stop.
Oh.
And Delta was, I would say, the biggest stop between here and Delaware. What's that now?
Clarksville?
Clarksville. The Forest Hill Station now is, are you familiar with Forest Hill?
Yeah.
Well, it's right down the, you know where the bank is?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then the, where this road crosses.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's right down the road that goes toward, not up the thing, but towards the
mm-hmm.
On the right, I think they have a recreation park or something there.
Yeah.
That's the Forest Hill Station.
Huh.
Oh, this is Forest Hill. I think there must be three. I've never opened these before.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, and that's all the ones I have.
Uh-huh.
But there was three here. There was Card, there was Delta, and then from Delta he went on up towards York, like Brownsville, not that place.
Mm-hmm.
Delta, Cardiff, Whiteford, Pilesville,
mm-hmm.
Highland, The Rock, then the next one I guess is but you know the Forest Hill, Bynum, did you hear Bynum?
Mm-hmm.
And clear on the bottom, but there's a station every few miles. You know how long it took to get in there. And the thing would get stuck, And you have, you know, like leaves, I remember leaves got on the track and they'd get wet and then they couldn't get up the hill. The train would chug along. I remember one Saturday we came up with a whole bunch of us, we'd come up the ball and work down there. And so they got stuck on the, down at the rock. And it's a space on the track, you know, and wheels were going, the thing was. So they had to put sand on it. And so in the meantime, the boys got off the train and went up to the rock store and got a whole bunch of stuff to eat and brought us back. And we had a lot of fun, you know, just fun. That's the kind of fun they had then.
Huh.
But the whole way to Baltimore, you just, there was just stations every couple of miles. Really, the tracks up here were still here for some time, but they all covered over here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think, well, then for a long time they didn't run, I think they went as far as Bel Air, and they stopped. And then, but it was all the way from York to Baltimore, you could go on this track down here.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had a branch that ran down towards the river for a while, down towards Tucson, and that was a sort of a side branch because they hauled, well, they hauled freight. They took the passenger trains off up here. And then they hauled freight for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, they don't have them at all. So they can make trucking and everything that they just don't have. But those trains, my goodness sakes, people would go, and I know they'd have things in Baltimore, like some particular theater thing, or they had the Billy Graham was a great evangelist in Baltimore. And they'd run special trains, and the people would, would just be crowded. And they'd run like what they call the midnight or the owl train, and that would give them go to theater and then come back on the owl train if you want to.
Hmm.
So we got around.
What kind of ride was it like? Was it
oh, I don't know, you just tried not to notice. No, it wasn't so bad. It certainly wasn't deluxe. And don't count on a dining car or anything, you know, you just sort of chuckled along and you didn't think much. You really didn't think much about it, to tell you the truth, you just went. And of course, as I said, with us, we had a lot of fun because it would be a bunch of us running up and down like on Saturday. And then on Sunday evening, they ran a train from, for a while it got so that they didn't run a train from here to go back on Sunday evening. You had to go down to Bel Air to get on the train. So we'd usually get a ride down to Bel Air and go on the train. You know, it would be the same bunch. And you'd just have a lot of crazy fun.
Mm.
But the train was, well, as I said, you just chugged along. And that's just, what it's well, we didn't know any better, though. I mean, we didn't feel they had to tell you how long as the people would today with all this electricity moving along like that. You know, we expected it to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a good many years, that payment. The station in Baltimore was on North Avenue and Maryland. And on the corner of Tennessee, I don't know. We came up and stopped at all these places, and there was a lot of stuff. But they had to on that local just to have a couple of these places.
Hmm. That's
remarkable.
Well,
it's interesting. It really is. We've always had a lot of churches around here. We have a lot of different churches of any denomination that you want. So that was never any problem, and it was always being kept up and well kept.
Well, now, Slate Ridge, is that a pretty old...
Not this particular building. This is about the third or fourth building, I think, Slate Ridge has had. Mm. They had to, out in the country, they had a, at least two, that one burned down and one of them was just, they were like stone, the stone buildings, and then they built this one. Mm. And this is, I don't know, this one's been up here for a while. And the, several years ago they built the L on to it, not
maybe not
bigger than it. 1750 to 1950. Now this one up here was built. This was the original old Slate Ridge church.
Oh.
I'm going to put the date on here.
Uh-huh.
And then they had, what's that?
1805.
Mm-hmm. But you see the one back of this, mm-hmm. see from 1750. This is the one they had before, mm-hmm. was the beginning of 1750. I said, this is about the service. But this one was, I don't think they had any pictures of the one mm-hmm. before, mm-hmm. but they just built the one. And then the one they built up here. I'm sure in there some places,
mm-hmm.
and this one is still. When we built an education room, the whole, well, we only got doubled in size several years ago. So.
Is this the biggest church around town, would you say? Or?
Well, actually, it's the only one on the Maryland side. Now, we have a Fayetteville church, which is a split-off from Slate Ridge. It's about the same size. I guess in Pennsylvania, over the other side. In fact, the Slate Ridge is the mother church of Highland, and about three churches up in Pennsylvania. Mm. It's just almost identical. But the Slate Ridge is the mother church of all of them.
Huh.
And they, Before I was married, I went to Slateville Church, but my husband's family my family were not all at church. They saw to it that we went to church, but they weren't all wrapped up in it. But my husband's family were bulwarks with the Slate Ridge Church. They always had, my father-in-law was always like an elder, and my mother-in-law was the head of the Missionary Society, you know, that sort of thing. So then when we were married and we had a little girl, I didn't see much sense in having a divided family, so I transferred. And I would never have asked his parents if I had gotten him to transfer out here. But so it didn't make any difference to me. So I just, it was a first experience before I came down here. And I've been there, I guess it's been about 50 years. Not quite 50, that I belonged up there. So I'm pretty well oriented. I played the organ up there for 25 years, so.
Yeah.
So that was,
Well, how did you learn to play?
Well, we had, we bought a pipe organ. The church, we used to have like a piano, you know, a little organ. So the church had a chance to buy a pipe organ from an All Angels in Baltimore, who were putting in a bigger organ. And we had a chance to get this pipe organ from them. Mm-hmm. And we bought it. And then we had a man come down from New York and give us, I think he gave us 10 lessons. There were about a dozen of us, but 15 lessons. I learned how to play the pipe organ. And it was one of those times that you pull stuff out. I've probably never seen one. But, you know, we didn't have all this beautiful stuff like you do. And then the arrangement was that the church was going to pay for these lessons, but we didn't have to pay anything, but we were supposed to then play, like take turns playing, you know, one Sunday and somebody else another Sunday to pay for it. Well, that finally didn't work out too well because, I don't know if you know much about church organ business, whoever was the organist had to direct the choir too, and also arrange for all the music and everything, and it was very difficult to have one person doing it one Sunday and another person doing it. You couldn't make any kind of programming. So we finally, and then another thing, we were all newly young married people, and the first thing you know, somebody got gone pretty good, and then they got a baby. Mm-hmm. And then they couldn't come every Sunday. So it finally wore itself down to about a couple of us, and I finally ended up being the last one that, you know, could do it. Because I had a small child too, but we managed to take care of that very well, and I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. But so then after I decided, I would have stopped before I did, but because it's a pretty big job. You don't get paid anything without that thing. Now they pay them if they didn't stand and didn't always suit you to get there, you know. So we finally had a girl, a young woman who had been in college and had taken a gift, and she married a man out here. So she took her, and she's been up there for, 25 or 30 years, I guess. And we have a wonderful music up here, really. If you ever had time to come up to one of those special things, we have a director. I mean, she's a director of music in the public school, and she belongs up here. And between those two, they put up some really great programs, and I mean, much, much more advanced music than I played up there, because they had a really great choir. It's just really it's just outstanding for a small community. Everybody says that.
Well, had you had piano training?
Oh, yeah,
before?
I had played piano before. And I also taught piano some. I played the violin a little bit, and taught it a little bit. All along the road of my life, I'm always doing some, you know, a little bit of something besides just being a housewife and mother. Mm. So the organ playing was a matter of practicing more than anything else. You got to stop, and then somebody went to, somebody had a baby out of Lakeville, so I went out and played about a year out there for them and then took them up. But I had the preliminaries before. I started the same thing as before and all that. But anyway, it was nice. Well, then afterwards, that organ, we finally decided that it was the past sort of time. So we bought a much better organ and bigger one. Mm-hmm. We still have a very nice organ today. Mm-hmm. But that's how we started on it. Mm-hmm. But the music is really out there after them up there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But we still belong, and we're in Maryland, but we still belong to, as far as the church is concerned, to a Pennsylvania festival. Because you see, the church originated in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And then when they bought this up here, I think somebody gave them.